Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Evan Thomas. His new book is Road to Surrender, Three Men and the Countdown to the End of World War II. Roosevelt is dead. He dies in early April. Harry Truman is now in office. It is late May 1945. The Germans have surrendered. Hitler is dead. The men in Europe are waiting to either come home or to be reassigned to the operations in the Pacific, whatever is coming, to end the war with Japan. Two committees gather in Washington. They're both critical to the A-bomb, the atomic weapon, which has not yet been tested. That won't be till July, the Trinity test. But in any event, it's been assembled at great cost, and Henry Simpson feels the burden of it, as he says at one point, I spent $2 billion, and he's very pleased to hear that it works in Trinity. But in any event, they're not quite sure what it can do as these committees meet. The first committee is called the Target Committee, and it is the genius and extension of a man named Groves, General Groves, in charge of Trinity and before that taking part in the Manhattan Project. Evan, what is the Target Committee and what is their decision making?
The Target Committee is choosing the target for this new weapon, for S-1. And they are military men and scientists, but mostly military men, whose focus is on showing off how terrible this weapon is. And, you know, in 1945, bombing was not the most accurate thing in the world. They were not reliably accurate. So they are concerned in finding a city. They want to hit a whole city. They would like it be morally preferable to hit a military target, say an army base, a navy base, but really they want to hit a whole city to make sure they can hit it. And they are looking at cities. Their choice, or General Groves's choice, is Kyoto, which is the ancient capital of Japan, a beautiful city which is full of people and actually has quite a lot of military activity. That's the one he and his targeters want to hit. They also look at Hiroshima, another big city, also with military implications because they had a headquarters city for the Japanese army. But mostly they want to plant this bomb right in the middle of a city, and the target committee settles on a bridge in the middle of Hiroshima, right smack in the middle, to make sure they hit it. And they're not really worried about civilian deaths. In fact, they kind of mock the idea you should even worry about civilian deaths. They want a hell of a big bang to show off the power of this weapon they've just spent $2 billion on.
A terror weapon, yes. And now we come to an exchange that you, it's a scene in your book, I sat there silent watching. General Groves is in Henry Stimson's office, and Henry Stimson wants to know what the targets are. And General Groves is reluctant to tell him. Henry Stimson says, get the document here. I'll wait. I'm not doing anything. You're not doing anything. When the document arrives about the targets, Kyoto is number one on the list, I believe, for General Groves. What happens then?
Stimson says, no, I'm the decider here. You know, there's a lot of delegation from the civilians, the War Department civilians, the Secretary of War, to the military. But in this case, a lot of delegation of authority. But in this case, Stimson says to Groves, I'm the decider. I'm deciding. And we're not going to bomb Kyoto. Why? because it's the cultural capital of Japan, and it will make us look like war criminals if we take it out. And I think Stimson psychologically is feeling he can't stop this project, but at least he can save Kyoto. And he's pretty firm with Groves. We're not going to do that. He also goes a little farther and takes a couple of other targets, cities off the target list. They come back. In fact, Groves, who is a hard-nosed guy, puts Kyoto back on the target list, not once, not twice, but three times. Each time, Stimson has to take it off, finally with the backing of the President of the United States.
Please consider, at this point, Henry Stimson is exhausted. All the evidence of either an imminent stroke or a heart attack or something dire. He's resting as much as possible, went to Miami with his wife, Mabel, went home as much as possible, but the demands of the job insist on these tension moments. Now we come to May 31st, the interim committee. This one is politics, but General Marshall's there, commander of all the armies. Stimson's there. Jimmy Burns, the former former associate justice on the court, who might have been vice president with FDR rather than FDR's choice of Truman, is in the meeting, and Oppenheimer's in the meeting. This is a meeting that Stimson blesses. What is the ambition of the interim committee?
Well, it's twofold. One is to talk about targeting this atom bomb, but also to talk about the world after the war is over, the control of the atom bomb. Is there a way to control it, to limit this Frankenstein monster from getting out there? They talk about both things. It is, I would say, an incoherent meeting. It's not what we'd imagine smart guys would do. They end up with a kind of a muzzy. They decide that they're going to drop it on a war plant surrounded by workers' homes. That's an attempt to have it both ways, to say it's a military target, but it's going to kill a lot of people. If historians have had fun with that because it's an incoherent description, but it gets at the enormous ambiguity of what they're doing. They don't want to be war criminals. On the other hand, they want to end the war, and they have to kill a lot of people to do it. And they're troubled by that. You know, also, they don't absolutely know how big this bomb is. Oppenheimer's there. And he says, well, it could be between 2 kilotons and 20 kilotons. Hiroshima turns out to be 12 kilotons. Nagasaki, 20. So it's at the upper end. They say, how many people will it kill? Oppenheimer says 20,000. Well, it ended up killing 70,000 right away in Hiroshima and another 70,000 by radiation poisoning. They don't even get into radiation poisoning at this meeting. Pretty big thing not to get into, partly because they don't understand it very well. And also because the scientists don't really want to bring it into the discussion because they don't want to get hung up on it because it sounds like poison gas. Poison gas is illegal. And, oh, my God, we might not be able to use a weapon at all. So they just put their head in the sand and they don't really get into radiation. So it's a to be crude about this, it's a crappy meeting. But that is the meeting in which they decide to go ahead. And that's the word that's passed on to Truman. And he accepts it.
I was struck by how at lunch, you report at luncheon that day, someone brings up the idea of it using the first bomb for demonstration. That's something that I've seen reported on for the last 60 years, Evan. What is the opinion of the committee of using a bomb to demonstrate?
Yeah, I'm often asked, why didn't we do a demonstration? Well, they talked about it briefly, and they said, look, one thing, they only had a couple of them. But if suppose the Japanese shot down the plane carrying the bomb for the demonstration. Suppose they put American prisoners of war there. Suppose the bomb was a dud. Suppose it didn't leave a very big hole in the ground, which actually it didn't. The enormous flash, but it didn't leave a huge crater. So they thought they fairly quickly dismissed the idea of a demonstration. They did because that it was impractical and just wouldn't work.
Finally, a detail, unconditional surrender. We have about 30 seconds. That is important to the president. Is it important to Stimson, unconditional surrender?
Yes, but he's not as wedded to it at all. He would give the Japanese a way out. He and his pal, Ambassador Gru, want to give a carrot, right, which was, if you surrender, you can keep your emperor. That's what they would like to offer the Japanese as a way to avoid using this bomb. Stimson's somewhat torn about this. He's not actually sanguine this is going to work, but he's willing to consider it and would like to try it.
The book is Road to Surrender, Three Men and the Countdown to the End of World War II. Evan Thomas is the author. When we turn next to the story of the end of the war, we turn to diplomacy. Where is it? I'm John Patrick.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No